So we're going to go into this. And today's idea is this. Keep it moving. Everybody say, keep it moving. Keep it moving. Progress is what we need. We need progress. Progress or movement beats perfection every single time. Did you catch that? Movement beats being stale or stagnant or static. Movement is what we need. Movement beats perfection. If you're waiting to get perfect, well, we'll get into that in a moment. If you're waiting to get perfect, you're going nowhere. This is for the body of Christ. So if I wait to get everything perfect before I start to move, you'll never fulfill the purpose and plan of God for your life. You'll never do it. Why? 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 I thought this morning, because I got up before 4 o'clock this morning. Couldn't sleep because God is pressing me, trying to get something out of me to get something into you. Dwelling on perfection. If I get into my mind, I've got to be perfect. And I'm talking about the Christian life now. You can apply it however you want to. But I've got to be perfect. I can't do anything for God because I've got to be perfect. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Well, let me just go on record as saying, y'all listening to me? Let me go on record as saying, y'all aren't perfect. And you will never be perfect. That ought to release your thoughts right there. Now, I know some people think that their husband's perfect. My wife does. Or you think your wife's perfect. Or you think your friends are perfect. But I've got news for you, Christian. You ain't perfect, brother. So dwelling on perfection will only serve one thing. Can y'all guess? It'll serve one thing, one point. It'll only serve to frustrate your mind. It'll cause you, drive you into frustration. I've watched a lot of good people that had a lot to offer, but they didn't offer it because they wanted to do it. I've got to do this right. Someone leaned over to me this week. I was listening to some people performing in church, of course. There's some people that are worshipers and then some that are performers. And as a matter of fact, I'll tell you who leaned over to me, James Payne. James has written some songs here lately that'll knock you out. He has won every award you can win. He leaned over to me and he said, do you feel any anointing? I said, no, sir, I don't. I thought it was just me. He said, have you ever noticed that some people can get up and sing, they can't even sing, and you feel the anointing? Yes. And then some people that sing perfect, have a perfect pitch and a perfect tone, that you feel nothing from them? I said, you see, God can use anything and anybody. The good news is God works with broken vessels. How many broken vessels do we have in here today? I've been broken, stepped on, smashed, powdered, but I'm still working for the King. So the only thing perfection does, if I dwell on it too long, all it's going to do is frustrate my mind. In this life only, there's only one thing that's perfect, and that's Jesus Christ. You have to do that. You have to get that in your thinking. The only thing perfect is the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, hear this. God has never called you to be flawless. Look at somebody and say, you ain't flawless. Now, say it like I said it to you, because y'all are country. You ain't flawless. God never called us, Tony, to be flawless. He asked you to follow. Not flawless, but follow. When Jesus called the disciples, he said, follow me. Wake up, Kate. Follow me. And what did he say after that? Follow me and I will make you fishermen of follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. He had to train them in a short period of time so they could change the world. Did they understand it? Did they understand what he was teaching? No, they didn't. It took them years to understand where he was coming from, but they got it. Just like now, I'm starting to get some things in my spirit that will transform our thinking and transform the way we live, Randy. It'll transform it. They told James Payne Monday that he's got 6 months to live. And I looked at him and I said, you're my friend. You can't die and you will not die. He said, I have chosen not to believe the doctors. I'm going to walk in trust. How can you trust? Because, see, I can't trust man because doctors are not perfect. But Jesus is. Jesus is. Man, I'm happy today. I'm not trying to blow y'all away with a heavy rhetoric here. I'm just telling you I'm happy. I've been in church all week. I could keep you here for 3 or 4 or 5 hours. I'm full. Let me just tell you, I am. You see, God isn't sitting with a measuring stick in heaven, Jimmy, and saying, well, here's Jimmy Grove, and he's got a measuring stick, and he's saying, you know, he's not lining up to my perfection. He's not measuring your perfection. He's measuring, you want to know? He's measuring your movement. That's what he measures, is how are you moving? Are you going? Are you making a step? Are you taking a step? You see, the enemy, who's the enemy? Satan and all his horde. The enemy wants you stuck. You don't know powerful, I don't care how powerful an engine is, how powerful a vehicle is. If you get stuck in mud, you are stuck, honey. The enemy will get you stuck, and he wants you to stay there. He doesn't want you to move, but heaven, yes. Heaven wants you to move. Yes. Heaven is desirous of your movement, and movement says, I trust God. That's what movement, to me, dictates or says or makes a statement, that I trust God. Say, I trust God. I trust God. I want to take you to Philippians, the 3rd chapter. There's a powerful statement by the Apostle Paul that you've heard me preach over and over and over, and then you're going to hear it again. Philippians 3:12, he said this, and you got to hear what he's saying. Not that I have already obtained. I've not obtained all this, he said, or have already been made perfect. He's admitting it. I haven't been made perfect. Oh, just to be like the Apostle Paul. But he's saying, I've not been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, he says, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. I don't even consider to have gotten hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Forgetting what is behind and straining what is ahead of me. I press on toward the goal to win the prize. I press on to win a prize. What is it? The prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's powerful. What is Paul saying? He said, I haven't arrived, and neither have you, and neither have I. I haven't arrived. He's saying, I'm not perfect, but I refuse to stay still. That's what he's saying. I refuse to stay still. If the Apostle Paul, which he wrote most of the New Testament, and he wrote some of 4 or 5 chapters of it, sitting in prison, we'll touch that in a moment. He writes these words, if Paul the Apostle, the church planner, the miracle worker, had to keep moving, then so do we. Don't get caught up in your day-to-day status quo stuff. Don't get caught up. Yes, you have a job. Yes, you have to make a living. Yes, you got to get some things accomplished. I understand all that. But your primary goal for living on this planet is to be like Jesus. Say, Bishop, are you serious? Absolutely serious. The more you become like him, the more you'll walk like him, and the more you'll perform like him, and the more you'll be victorious like him. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Goodness gracious. So if he has to do it, then Floyd, then I have to do it. These are people that were very close to God. I mean, Paul was met on the road to Damascus by Jesus Christ himself. Anybody who's ever trained for an event like running, like marathons, my wife did it. She wanted to run in a marathon, and she's out working and working and working just so she can work in a, and I've seen some of you other ladies on Facebook or Instagram training and working out. But there's a reason for that. You see, anybody that's trained for an event like a marathon, it's not about perfect form. It's about consistent steps. What do you mean? The marathon isn't won by the fastest sprinter. I watched a video of a guy. They took off at, it was in Boston or New York. This guy took off, man, like a rabbit. Boo! He was way out in front of everybody. I mean, and the guys back behind him, the girls, whoever's running, in this big marathon, they were just... And I'm thinking, boy, he's going to burn this thing up. They go on next to the next frame, and he's leaning over the rail vomiting. Because he thought he could run in a sprint and win a marathon. It don't happen that way. It's funny, isn't it? Until you get there. So it's about being consistent, consistent steps. It's not about the fastest sprinter. It's the runner. It's won by the runner who keeps taking one more step. Say one more step. It's about the runner that takes one more step when everything in them is screaming, stop! You'll have people in your life telling you to stop, give up. How many people have had that happen to them? Just give up. I had people tell me that years ago. Just give up. I went through some things, and I had people that were close to me say, just give up. You're never going to make it. You know what I said? When we built that church over on Hurt Road, they told me to give up. It's not going to happen. You're not going to make it. Nobody was giving me any encouragement. I had to go to the pulpit and preach, and people were thinking, man, ain't it never going to make it? Well, we made it for 40 years right there. Amen. But how many people knows that 40, after 40, you got to enter the promised land? Where are y'all headed to promised land? You know what Lord spoke to me this morning? I said, God, why in the world? You got to explain to me again why we're doing what we're doing. He said, well, it's very simple. Do you remember me saying, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel? He said, you got to get out of the walls and get out. He said, that's my plan. So people knows that there's a message being preached right here in Marietta at the Hilton. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The Holy Ghost is going to get in those rooms over there. It's going to get in the restaurant over there. And people are going to start feeling the power of God. You don't believe that? I do. He said, why do you believe it? Because I asked him to. Why do you believe it? Because he said, go you into all the world. But that happens because you take consistent steps. And you stay in it. You keep moving. You keep getting, you accomplish because of the one step at a time. One step at a time, sweet Jesus. So, when everything in me says, stop, Ricky, I say, no, 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 we're going to keep going. We're going to keep moving. You don't need perfect form if you're a runner. You don't need perfect form. You don't need flawless stride. You say, well, how does this apply to me in my life? Because I'm always about application. How does it apply to me? You don't need to have your life all figured out. Well, I want my life figured out. I want to plan on a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, a 20-year plan. And I'm going to tell you, when you do that, God has a way of messing it up. Does anybody else know? Found that to be true in their life? You set those plans and God says, well, no, we're not going to do it that way. You can't figure it all out. Let me tell you how to win. You just need to refuse to quit. I refuse to quit. Some of you are here today, you don't even feel good. Man, I didn't want to go to this conference this week. I told my wife, I said, I'm not going. I'm sick. And I was. Something hit me, man. I just couldn't breathe good, and I just felt low. I just felt terrible. And she said, you need to go because you need those relationships, spiritual relationships. And I went and had some words that was important. It wasn't my plan. It was God's plan. Well, we're going to go on with this. Y'all tired yet? No. Anybody tired? Ushers, help them out. You don't just refuse to quit, Deb. Just forget, I'm not going to quit. That's truly the heartbeat of what I want to say today. The message today. Keep it moving. Say it again. Keep it moving. Keep it moving. Man, when I'm in a line at a grocery store, I just want to keep it moving. When I'm in a left turn lane, I want to take a left and everybody's sitting there. Have you ever watched them? The light turns green, they sit there. And you want to holler out the window, it ain't going to get no greener. Come on, you Christians. Y'all do get upset too. What is happening? What has happened to us? Here's the problem. You know, you got to know the problem to be able to solve the problem. We get stuck in back then. We get stuck in back then. Paul says, forgetting what is behind back then. Forget what's behind. That means some things in your past, some things in your past are not meant to be carried into your future. So what keeps us stuck? What keeps us out of step? I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you. Here's some points that you need to hear. Here's one that really gets to people. Shame. I can't come to church, Bishop. Why? You don't know what I've done. What? I don't want to know what you've done. And Jesus already knows what you did. So quit fooling yourself. Get out of the mud. You're stuck. Shame says, here's what shame says. Shame says, I am what I did. I am what I did. God says, let's give an answer to that. God says, you are who I called you to be. Amen. We're called to be something far greater than what we're acting in right now. We ought to be living in the power of the Holy Spirit like never before. When you walk into your house, you ought to feel God. You know why? Because your house is your sanctuary. Yes. Oh, I like being home. I like to walk into the house because I feel peace there. Yes. Well, I don't feel peace in my home. Well, you need to take some olive oil and you need to anoint every door in your house. Yes. And say, I rebuke the power of Satan. I'm going to have peace in my home. I want peace. Oh, God. This brings up a funny thing. They prayed for me this week. Oh, by the way, y'all may not realize that, but we're part of one of the largest buildings. We're building now one of the largest Bible schools, Bible colleges around. State of the art, Jason. It's state of the art. I saw the plans. And yes, you're a part of it because we're supporting it. I mean, marble floors. You say, you don't need marble. Yes, state of the art. It's going to be the best. And that's why our leadership says we're tired of just old ratty things for God. Right. We want the best of the best. But anyway, we were in that, and they wanted to pray for me. And because I'm supporting it, and you're supporting it. And so they took olive oil and poured it in their hand and just smashed me in the head with it. I look like Alfalfa. The younger people aren't laughing because they don't know who Alfalfa is. I'm telling you, and I said, what? He said, don't worry about your hair. I said, no, but I got to leave here and go out and get my hair. What did I do? I just thanked God. I wouldn't even wipe it off. I said, man, I'm happy. I've got this smear on my face and my head. I don't care. Because I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep doing what God's asked me to do. I'm going to keep stepping. Devil says you can't go. God says you can. Devil says you can't make it. Jesus said you've already made it. You see, we hear these things that are conflicting. How many of y'all hear those conflicting voices? You can't listen to them. So shame is something we've got to do away with because God doesn't want you to work in shame. The next one is something most of y'all don't have to feel. I do at times. Guilt. Guilt. What do you mean by guilt? You owe for what happened. You know what happened and you owe for it. You got to pay the price, honey. You know what you did, Floyd, so you owe it. Now you got sick. You did something. Randy, you going through problems. You must have done something. You got to pay the price. Oh, I would say something y'all to get mad at me for right now, but I ain't going to say it, Damon. I'm not going to say it. Don't make me say it. But that's cow dung. I would have said it a different way, but y'all are Christians. Because it's not true. You owe for what happened. The cross says, paid in full. Randy, paid in full. Your healing's been paid in full today. Your healing, and I speak to you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I rebuke the devil, and I rebuke what's come on in your life, and I speak it now. Healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Touch him, God, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. As I prayed for him early this morning, I know, Lord, that you've got your hand on Randy. And the cross paid the price. The cross paid the price. Healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name. Say, Bishop, are you serious? Man, I'm very serious today. I'm so serious. You just can't believe how serious I am because life is getting more and more serious. The world don't want you to make it. Your government surely don't want you to make it. Politicians, I don't care if you're Republican or demigods. No, Democrats. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on, none of them cares about the people. Are y'all listening to me? You think they do, they don't. They really don't. Well, you know, the Caucasian people up in Washington care about us. No, they don't. Well, I know the African Americans up in there, they care about you. No, they don't. The Somalians care about you. No, they don't. They care about themselves. I'm sorry if I made y'all mad, but y'all will get over it. I mean, I didn't. That's not part of my sermon. Ricky, you made me say those things. So guilt has been eradicated because of the cross, Randy. Jimmy, because of the cross. Oh, God. What's the next one? Regret. Regret. Regret says, you missed your moment. I could have made it, but I missed my moment. I missed my moment. But God says, I can redeem the time. Do you hear that, Mo? God can redeem the time. What you lost, God has found it. God's going to make a way for you. He's going to establish your ways, and he's going to set your path. All you have to do is live it, walk it. So God says, I will redeem the time. Here's the real truth here. Shame, guilt, and regret are nothing more than chains hell uses to handcuff your future. He's handcuffing your future. Because if you sit at home and worry, I'm just talking to Randy right now. But if you sit at home and worry, he's handcuffed you. Floyd, if you're worrying, he's handcuffed you. Mike, it's just the truth. He's got you. You say, but I'm a Christian. I'm blood-bought. Jesus loves me. Yes, he does. But if you're letting those things terrorize you, you're handcuffing your future. I'm preaching better than y'all are reacting. Damon, you just you may look free, but some of us can't even worship in church. Can't even raise our hands anymore because we can't get the handcuffs up. Because our future's handcuffed, and the devil laughs at us because we're not taking authority over him.
Yeah. Right. Right.
I got one that's right. Thank you. We're handcuffed. I refuse to be handcuffed. Oh, I might get low, and I might get a little depressed every now and then. My wife will tell you. But I'm happy all the time. I'm mostly happy. I really am. But what does Paul say about it? Paul teaches us you cannot press forward while you're chained backwards. You can't go forward if you're chained to the back then or back when. You can't do it. So what causes me to lose step? What causes me to lose position? What causes me to get out of stride? What causes it? It's when we are held hostage. We're handcuffed. We're held hostage. You see, there are seasons where your mind keeps replaying old failures. How many have had that happen? Seasons in your life where just old failures keep playing in your mind and broken relationships. Some people, that's all they talk about is that broken relationship they got back 30 years ago. Who cares about what happened 30 years ago? Find you a new one. Mess them up like you messed them up. Some of you are laughing, others are looking saying, my God, what's he talking about? You ain't been messed up yet, so you don't know what I'm talking about. Watch it, dang Christian. Your mind keeps playing on these old failures, broken relationships, missed opportunities. I've missed that opportunity. And most of us make decisions. We just wish we could push a button and rewind. But rewind to what? Rewind means I want to go back then or back when. I don't want to go back and rewind. I want to go forward. I would not, if I could push a button right now and rewind 40 years and go back to where we were, I would not push it. You say, why wouldn't you do that, Bishop? There's the glory days. The glory days are ahead of me, not behind me. But you were younger then, and now you're just a little bit older, but you don't understand. When I was younger, I was dumber. And I made a lot of mistakes that I should not have made. I got an amen there. Now, I've got experience. I've experienced pain. I've experienced torment. I've experienced hell. I've experienced pressure. I've experienced all these things. And I found out, Jason, here's what I found out. I found out that God is more than able.
Amen.
So throw away the rewind button. If you've ever felt like your past was a prison, my past was a prison. You got to hear this today. Your hostage moment. I'm not saying your hostage moment isn't something that's real, because it really is real. It happened to you. But here's the good part. It may be real, Steve, but it's not final. It may be real, but it's not final. Y'all tired yet? It's only 11:29. Mo, Don't let nobody walk out, will you? God, yes, you've gone through some real moments of pain. I have. And God doesn't minimize your pain. He doesn't say, Randy, you ain't feeling nothing. He knows you're feeling something. He knows your pain. You don't even have to tell him. He knows it. You don't even have to deny. You can stand and deny your mistakes to him all you want to. I made mistakes. Why in the world are you doing? He knows exactly what you've done. God, you know, I'm a big mess up. And you know what he'd say? You're right. Because he knows it already. And he doesn't pretend that you don't cry. How many of you have cried secretly, privately? Raise your hand. Have you? Okay, I want to tell you about that. He doesn't pretend your tears didn't fall because he saw every one of them. And he loves every one of you. Y'all are precious in his sight. Remember the old song we sing as a kid? They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. You say, well, he's talking about children. He's talking about you. We are children. He doesn't pretend that you didn't fall. He didn't pretend you didn't fall. He knows you fell. But he also knows he created a ladder for you to come out of the pit. God help me. Here's what God thinks. He knows all those things, but he refuses to let your valley be your address. He refuses to put an address on where in that low moment that you're going through. He says you don't have to live there if you don't want to. You can come out. Now, hear this. You can live where you want to live in spiritually. If you want to be low, you can stay low as long as you get happy with it. But if you're tired of it, you need to go home today and say, I'm sick and tired of being depressed. I'm sick and tired of feeling this oppression. I'm ready to get out of this. I'm ready to get happy. I'm ready to be happy. So God doesn't minimize these things. He understands them. So remember this. In your hostage moments, and only you know that, what those are. In your hostage moments, you're just passing through it. You don't have to pitch a tent there. You're just passing through it. You see, here's the reason why. He is the shepherd that leads you through the valley. Amen. Let's just read a point of that. Psalms 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Remember, for now, what we just read. Remember, you're just walking through it. You're going to walk through it. He didn't say you wouldn't go through some things. He just said, I'm going to get you through it. You're going to see the other side of it. Has anybody in here but except me? I have felt it. You felt hopeless at times? Come on, speak back to me. Let's be honest. Brother Ade, have you felt it? I have. Hell, hopeless. But God comes on the scene and says, wait a minute. You're feeling hopeless because of outside circumstances, but the real issue is the inside, the internal thing. What's going on inside of you? Because hope isn't from the outside, it's from the inside. In here. So yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, through, I'll make that a broken record. through. I'm not going to fear it because he's going to get me through it. I'm not going to stay stuck there. He never intended for you to stay stuck in the valley of the shadow of death. He wants you to get onto the other side. That's why my dear sister over here, she's healed of cancer. That's why this other sister sitting right here, Sister Floyd, she's sitting right here. They gave you a death sentence. That's right. Honest to God, they gave this woman right here, raise your hand so I can see you. They gave her a death sentence. A bad one. But God. Am I right?
That's right.
I'm not lying to y'all.
Yes.
I like what James Payne said. He was preaching Friday night. I mean, he was tearing it up. I just loved it. Man, I'm the only one shouting. Everybody else sitting there looking at him. I'm shouting because he's telling the truth. And they get mad because he's telling them the truth. But I'm over there happy. He said, I'm not lying to y'all. He said, I may face Jesus in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to face him. That's what he was saying, brother. He was shucking the corn. I told him that. He walked off the stage. I said, man, you just shucked the corn. You made me. I said, I almost got saved tonight. See, Christians can laugh, and we can have a good time. I don't have to drink to be happy. I mean, you may have to, but I don't have to. You know why? Because I've already drank of a water. I'll leave that to y'all. You do what you want to do when you want to do it, but just know there is something that's far better. Paul says simply, I press on. I press on. Say it back to me. That's what he said, simply. I just press on. And here when it, let's go back to the beginning of my message today. Paul didn't write this from a mountaintop experience. Paul wrote it from prison. I've been in that prison. I went to where he was held in Italy. I went there, stood in his in that cave that they had him in with, it was hard, dungeons where they had him. You could hardly stand up in his cell. And they showed me where he had written those epistles, right there where he had written on a flat stone, where they had he had written those epistles, and it came to life to me that he's talking out of a prison about a far better day. Because Paul is the one that said, to be absent from my body is to be present with the Lord. He said, it's far better for you that I stay, but far better for me that I go ahead. Are you catching that? He understood where his reward was. But even in chains, because he's in the inner prison, he's in a dungeon, and he's chained. But God did miraculously bring water out of a crack in that dungeon so he could baptize people. Isn't that amazing? I got to see all that. It just comes alive. Even in chains, he declares, listen to this, I'm still pressing on. I'm still going forward. I will not give up. I will not fall aside. I will not be denied. The Greek word for press on is dikeo. It means this in the Greek. It means to chase. It means to pursue. It means to run after with determination. So he wasn't just saying, I press on. He said, I'm going to run after it with determination. And I'm going to tell you, your better days are ahead of you, but you're going to have to enter into those days with determination. Paul's saying, I'm not going to crawl into my future, Daddy-O. Anybody say Daddy-O anymore? Who said that? I know it was the mouth of the South back there. I'm not going to crawl into my future. He's chasing it. He's chasing it, Floyd. He's not crawling. He's chasing. Have you ever noticed this? Just from what I've said or your observation of how God works with people. God moves with movers. He shakes with shakers. I love it. He moves with not so perfect people. Oh, I can read all this out in the Bible to you, different ones that weren't so perfect. He doesn't work with just polished people. If he did, I wouldn't be here today. But here's what he works with, moving people. Moving, people that move. Abraham moved before he even had a map. He had no map. Moses moved before he had confidence because he was not confident. Read it for yourself. Don't have time to preach it. Moses was not confident to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. He was not. He said, God, I can't even talk. I stutter. God said, I'll be your mouth. David moved before he had a crown. He didn't even have a crown. He kept moving. Peter moved. Think about Peter. He moved before he even had courage. He denied the Lord 3 times. You see, heaven responds to motion, not perfection. So what do we need to do? Let's get down to the part. What do we need to do? I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to release one weight at a time. Those weights, those cares of life that so easily beset you. You need to release one weight at a time. You say, why, Bishop? I got 7 weights. I got 20 weights. Well, the trouble is, so you understand what I'm saying. Why don't you do one weight at a time? Because if you're going to get frustrated trying to get rid of 10 of them, Steve, just get rid of your addictions first.
Yeah.
Let me go on last. Let me finish it. I'm going to get rid of one weight at a time. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily besets us. Mike, I'm just going to do one at a time. I'm not going to let anybody come to me and say, Bishop, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with you. You got this problem and that problem and the other problem. And I'm going to say, I've got one more problem too, you. And they're about to get me for murder. See, we want to throw off all these things, you know, and they can't do it. That's what was wrong with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They wanted everybody to live their life and they weren't even living it. God, get me off that story. And that's just fact. That's what's wrong in the church today. We got too many scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. You wonder why God called me. You know what I said this week? All these guys were dressed up in their suits like I used to. All their collars and their fancy ties, which I've done it all. So if y'all wonder why I do what I do now, here's what I did, Ricky. They're all standing around looking like Philadelphia lawyers. Some of them driving Rolls Royces, some driving Bentleys. I'm not against that. But I said, y'all, can y'all just look at me for a second? I'm standing there looking like this. I'm in church right with them, sitting right up front in the bishops. Because I'm a part of that. I'm one of the head people. I'm sitting there like this. And they said, I want y'all to hear me. I'm in a new sect. I've started a new sect. They said, what's that? I'm in the John the Baptist sect. Amen. If you study John the Baptist, he didn't care. And he wore what he wanted to wear when he wanted to wear it. And most of it was camel hair. I'm crazy. And you know what one man said? He said, I knew. He said, I would say you're a John the Baptist. I said, but y'all need to hear what you just called me. Because he prepared the way.
Amen.
I said, y'all need to listen to what you're saying. He prepared the way for the coming of the Messiah. What do we need today? People that trumpet the sound where we prepare the way for the Messiah. Man, I just felt good about that. Didn't you? That makes me want to shout. I'm not going to, but it makes me want to shout. It makes me want to run. I wish I had some runners in here. Could just run. No, I don't. Floyd, at least you like me. Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that does so easily entangle you. Before you can run ahead, you have to release what's behind. This week, I choose one way. I will not be overwhelmed. Maybe it's resentment. Oh, here we go again. Alan's going to lay it down. Maybe it's resentment. Has anybody ever resented anybody before? I got one honest woman right here and one gentleman back there in the back. One right over here. Is there any other resenters in here? I resent you. I don't resent nobody. I'm telling you, I've been with some of the best of the best, and I don't resent what they have or who they are, because I am who I is. Me and Popeye. We need to let the weight of resentment go. How about regret? Let it go. How about failure? Let it go. How about memory of certain things? Uh-oh, there we go. Memory will get you. You lay down in bed at night and there it comes. Oh, Jesus. Some of those memories I need to let go, because memories will draw you back into places you did not need to be. Has that ever happened to anybody in here but me? Memories are not your friend sometimes. It's just truth. Let those memories go, Randy. How about habits? Oh, no, I have no habits. Yes, you do. You lie a lot. I ain't got no habits. Yeah, well, there you go, right there. How about fear? How about letting the fear go? How many of y'all got some fears? Let's just be honest. Oh, let it go. You say, I don't know how to. Jesus is telling you, let me have it. How about shame? You don't need to be in shame for nothing. The cross. Yes. Change the shame. The Bible says he took the shame. He took the pain. He took the ridicule. He took all that so you didn't have to. All you have to do is stand in authority. And that's the problem. We just don't know how to stand in authority because we don't live in authority. But I'm telling you, the day's coming when you're going to be able to get out of bed in the morning and say, my day's going to be perfect today. Amen. And everybody I see and everybody I touch is going to be blessed. Ever had somebody say to you, you're different? I've had that said to me so many times, they don't even know I'm a preacher. Matter of fact, I don't think of myself as a preacher. I'm just serving God. And they said, something's different about you. I said, yeah. Like a lawyer said, I can't believe that happened. That's what a lawyer said to me. I can't believe that happened. I've never seen that happen before. These are learned people. These are people that win big cases. And they said, there's no way you can do that. And they said, we've never seen it before. And I said, well, I prayed about it. Is that what you said, Bishop? Absolutely. You know what they did? They turned, smiled at me because they know deep in their spirit, there's something different. Has anybody else prayed about something and it seems impossible, but it happened? Yeah. Right? It happened for you, didn't it, Marie? Marie Wright? Thank God I remembered your name. I have a hard time remembering names. I can't even remember Larry's name back there. Larry can't even remember his own name sometimes. But I'm going to let fear go. I'm going to let shame. I didn't know I was going to be funny today. I didn't come here today to be funny, but boy, I sure feel funny. It must be something you put in this water. You got to let shame go. How about this one? You got to let a voice from your past go. Got to let it go. How about, oh, this is something. We've all done this. A lie you believed. A lie you believed. Like somebody said, I love you. Honey, I really love you. I'll do anything for you. And you believed it. You found out it was a lie. You gotta let it go. So ask God, and all these things we just mentioned, ask God this week, what is the one thing I need to release or I need to let go? What is it, God, that I need to let go of today so I can move forward? Ask him. He'll talk to you. Then I want you to start praying with intent, intentionally. What do you mean? I want you to say, Lord, Well, in fact, say this with me. Lord, I place this weight in your hands. I release it today. I release it today. It's gone. So you have to understand, because whatever you release, God, whatever I release into the hands of God, he'll replace it, Debbie, with strength. Randy, he'll replace it with strength. Motion, I'm almost through. Motion is victory. Motion, moving forward, is victory. Even if the pace is slow. You say, I'm not the fastest or the sharpest tool in the shed. You don't have to be. I said that to God this week. I was praying. I said, God, you know, I'm not the sharpest tool. I'm not as sharp as I used to be, but I'm still useful. Because I know whose hand's wielding the tool. Y'all catch that? Sometimes you need to admit, you may not be as sharp as you used to be, but you still are the tool. You may not be that sharp sword, but you still can still do what you do. You may not feel as fast as you used to be. You may not feel as strong. You may not feel like you're getting ahead. But here's this, and hear this. Heaven celebrates with you every step of the way. The prodigal son, how many people remember that? I'll preach that sometime. The prodigal son in Luke 15, he didn't come home sprinting. He didn't run. He came home walking. But look at this verse. Luke 15, 20. And he arose and came to his father's house from the pig pens. He came from his father's house, but when he was yet a far away off, his daddy must have had some binoculars because he saw him coming. Now watch this. Saw him yet a great way off. His father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The father saw him or ran to him while he was still in a distant place. The prodigal couldn't run, but his daddy did run. Remember, God is our father. And we may not barely make it to church because we're so tired. We're just wore out. Nobody understands the troubles I've been in. Nobody's, you know what, we all face the same thing. Come on now, let's be real. We think we're different. We all have bills. We all have friends that turn on us. Mm-hmm. We all have people that said they'd support you, but they don't. Oh, we can go down the line. We've all got them. But I can barely make it. Barely make it. I'm just trudging on, just trudging on, just barely getting there. But God will meet you. And he'll help you get to where you need to go. Remember this, in your life with the Lord, slow progress is still progress. Small steps, Damon, are still steps. Forward is still, I'm not walking backwards, I'm moving forward, maybe slow. But I'm still going forward. Don't let the enemy shame your pace. Don't let the enemy say, well, you ain't walking as fast as Bishop is. You may never. But you're doing your own walk. If I go walking with my wife, she takes off. I'm telling you, that woman can walk as fast as any human I've ever seen. She's fast. Me, I'm like... She asked me, what's wrong? I said, I'm enjoying the walk. Well, not her. Especially if you're in a mall. Because she wants to get there fast because she thinks there's deals.
Thank you.
There ain't no deal.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, the deal is you're the deal. Yeah, that's right. I don't want to see them. But anyway, here I am. I'm moving along, but she's in a fast. I'm not going to let her shame me because of my pace. I mean, if y'all want to go play golf, y'all better get me a cart because I ain't walking. And I ain't playing. I'm there to scrutinize your game. Are y'all with me now? I'm not going to let the enemy shame me. Well, I can't believe you did that. Devil, believe it. You see, I'm going to let him shame me because God honors my direction. So, in closing, Paul would not look back. Paul made a decision. I refuse to be defined by what's behind me. You'll not define me by what's behind me. His past was messy. Don't have time to preach it. His time was messy. His time was persecution. He persecuted people. He killed people. He stood with consent when Stephen was stoned to death. Violence, mistakes, yet he says, forgetting what is behind. He did not deny his past. He refused, here's what he refused, Jimmy. He refused to be directed by it. He didn't deny it. He just refused to be directed by it. Your past cannot explain you. Well, let me say it this way. Your past may, in some ways, explain some things you're going through. May explain you, okay? Let me say it that way. But it cannot define you. It can explain you, but not define you. And it must never direct you. So what are you saying to us, Bishop? The road ahead, keep it moving. The road ahead is waiting for you. For everybody sitting here today, you've got destiny in front of you. It's not behind you. You've got purpose ahead of you, not behind you. You've got grace beneath you. Grace. God. The power of God. You've got the grace of God beneath you. You've got God beside you. And the only thing left to do for you is keep it moving. Just keep on rowing. Keep on going. When you're tired, keep on moving. You're wore out, keep on moving. When you feel unworthy, keep on moving. When your past starts to whisper to you, say, shut up, keep on moving. When fear arises, keep on moving. When life slows your pace, just keep on moving. Why? Because God is not waiting at the finish line. He's walking with you every step.